In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit. Yesterday afternoon, I sat by the bedside of Father Paul Cumrian. Paul is known to many of you with great love and affection and respect. And as you will know, he is dying and continues to be very close to the end. We talked, and Paul was funny, acerbic, and wise. He asked, as is his character, about me. Not about him, but about me. And I shared with him, you know, Paul, I just don't see a sermon for tomorrow. And then with great vigor and conviction, Paul commented, be evangelical. Whoa. And so in his honor, I preach this evangelical sermon. And you cannot be more evangelical than to preach repentance. Repent. Mark chapter 1, 14. Repent. Message translation. Change your life. New translation. Change your mind. The Greek word for repent is metanoia, and I quote, it is an ancient word meaning to change one's mind. It refers to the process of experiencing a psychotic breakdown and subsequent positive psychological rebuilding. So this call to repentance is not a negative thing. It's a call that we may turn around and then in the hands and grace of God, find ourselves rebuilt into new people. This repentance business is not easy, but it leads to rebuilding and healing. I'm reminded of that wonderful phrase, the mending of nets, that's mentioned in our gospel. We need to be mended. I believe that the mission of the church is not just to reach out, but to reach in. I believe that the mission of the church is not just to increase numbers, but to increase depth. I believe that the mission of the gospel leads us not only to treasure the ancient, but also to celebrate the spontaneous. I believe that this is what the heady call to repentance is all about, that there is no one here. There is nothing within us. There is no situation that besets us to which we have to say these awful words. Well, this could never change. And then we come to Jonah. I love Jonah. He battled with the vocation to repentance. Jonah was no ready prophet. He had to hear the word of God at least twice before he started to move into action. His problem begins when he will not repent and respond to God's call. Though God may call me, though sailors may perish, I will not repent and listen to God. Have you been there? At last, he succumbs to God's call. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, and so he set out. And he has this tremendous message that he shares with Nineveh. Just imagine if I came back from vacation and I said, I had this great message to you. Repent or you'll be destroyed. You'd probably send me back on vacation. I should have tried it. But he has this message. And then he gets really angry because the people of Nineveh repent. And it's not in his plan. It's not in his schedule. And because he is unwilling to repent and accept their repentance, he becomes more and more angry. And then to make it so bad, he has to accept in the words, and I know these are puzzling words, he has to accept that God himself repents. God himself changes his mind. But then in opposition to Jonah, I read with joy of the readiness of Simon and Andrew, of James and John, to lay loose of all their family connections, all their talents, all their trades. They repent, they turn around, and they follow with joy and faith because they have found this incredible person, Jesus, friend, Lord, Savior. And it may be that sometimes we find it hard to repent because we have not yet fully confronted Jesus. This is how I want to be, ideally. This is how I want to be. Ready to repent. Ready to repent. These men were ready to lay loose not only of their trades, but it occurs to me also of the image that went with those trades. These were strong fishermen. These were practiced menders of nets. And they were ready to let all of that go and turn around. Maybe sometimes we become captivated by the image that we carry of ourselves. In 40 years of ministry, I have from time to time come to know parishioners, mainly men, who are proud of being curmudgeons, cynics. Now that's okay if it's fun, but if you become captivated by that, if the image does not allow you to repent and return to the Lord, how sad. Without a readiness to repent, we become immobile, stolid, and quite unremarkable. In a few moments, and she's so peaceful at the moment, in a few moments, Lily, James, Anthony, I got the name correct, I know. When it came to their wedding, because Lily's father is called Billy Anthony, the old guy got the name confused and called him Anthony. And he will not repent and let go of that. Did I entertain that? On her behalf, parents and godparents are going to commit her to a life of repentance. And I have come to believe that there is nothing more holy, more healing, more empowering, more worthy than to entertain in one's mind and one's soul the constant possibility of repentance. And when I ask you all, will you repent? You will respond, I will, and then comes the good news, with God's help. When Wendy and I returned from vacation on late Friday night, we were foolish enough to turn on the television. Shouldn't have done it. And we began to watch the news channel report the grinding towards our government shutdown. We were seduced as we watched members of Senate discussing in cabal and in conference and in conversation as the midnight hour drew near. Now, I'm not silly. I'm not going to make any partisan comments on that, except to say, to all of us, it's blindingly obvious that without a readiness somewhere to repent, to change mind, shutdown is inevitable. And then, be assured, forget for a moment government shutdown, psychic, personal shutdown, mine and yours, is inevitable without repentance. It seems as if to make even reference to repentance is tantamount to political weakness, of feebleness of mind and principle. And yet, unless there be some readiness to adopt with grace a position, an attitude of repentance, of mind changing, guess what? Nothing changes. Friends, there is no final word about us that we should ever utter. There is no final word about another person that we should ever utter. By the grace of God, in the economy of God, in the hands of God, everyone carries the potential for repentance, for change, for renewal. Everyone. To repent is not a sign of facile indifference. It doesn't signify a feeble will. To repent is to follow in the steps of God. For we read, puzzling though this is, God changed his mind. And so I ask myself and I ask you, are you ready to repent and return to the Lord? Holding lightly relationships, vocations, treasures, possessions, images. And not just now in the community of faith, but in this coming week. As our colleague wisely prays, give us grace, O Lord. Amen.